Yes, and welcome, welcome, welcome once again to another podcast episode and show of the TJ Macklin Show. I am your host, TJ Macklin, back again with another week's episode over at Place to Be Nation. Episode five. Sorry about that. I had too much Taco Cabana leftover beans and corn and ground beef that we mixed into a little nachos for lunch today. So my brain's a little, messed up from too much nachos for lunch. Anyway, episode five of the podcast over at Place to Be Nation. The first four have done great, gotten a lot of feedback, as I have said last week, with people just responding to the show, saying what they like, what they don't like, audio issues, which, it's a one-man program here. I do have my producer and my booker that are, they help out a lot, but they're dogs, so what more can they do than me just get upset whenever they happen to bark at whatever is a car door closing across the street from where we record in our studio. So not a multi-million dollar, type of operation here, but we do what we can, and we try to put on as nice of a show for you. That being said, that leads into this week's episode. So a little backstory with my talk with Brian Kitts. First off, before we get into the backstory, Brian, he's one of the co-founders of the You Can Play movement. A lot of stuff has been in the news about the LGBT community and their, John Oliver just did a whole piece on their rights and what they should be having. They should be getting normal civil rights as any other human being does, in this country for stuff. But, some people, they have their beliefs and what have you, and they still refuse to serve or, as John Oliver said, fire them, not let them live in apartment complexes or whatever. And that could be your views. That's fine. But in my personal opinion, it doesn't seem smart or just reasonable to deny someone basic freedoms or basic whatever, anything here. So anyway, so Brian is a part with Patrick Burke of the You Can Play movement that does help out athletes who are LGBT feel comfortable playing sports, whether it be in the high school profession, the colleges, the professional ranks, anywhere. It's a great movement. They're based out of Colorado, Denver, I believe. And we talked with him a while back. This is back in June. So back in June, I had talked with the creator of Hockey Talk Radio about doing my own show with them. Well, so we got busy with personal lives. I mean, when you have a small infant, as I do, which I've talked about Kennedy many a times, she's a little 5-month-old, probably 6-month-old by the time you listen to this, as August 5th is her 6-month birthday. But, that got busy. Work got busy. We developed this show over here at Place to Be Nation. Got busy, and whenever you put too much on your plate, like my old advisor and professor over at CalU said, Dr. Yarbrough, whenever your rubber band, or my Pittsburgh people listening, your gum band gets stretches too thin, you're bound to break, and what good are you then if your gum band happens to snap? So that being said, I had to tell the creator of Hockey Talk Radio, what you're running here is great. I don't have time to have a spot on your network. I do apologize for saying we would be able to develop a show, which is going to be called The Forecheck. It was going to be more progressively thinking, a lot more than just prediction radio or doing breakdowns of what happened from the week before. Good for some people, just not for myself. I'm not interested in doing that type of things. As you can tell for the first four episodes of this podcast here, I'm not into breaking down the 2015 draft with Matt Miller or just talking about Roman Reigns compared to John Cena with Big Nasty or even, I guess we did a prediction talk with Liverpool and soccer and what have you, but I mean, we also then talked about painting faces and what we could do with buying countries out for the World Cup. So we departed, didn't want to take up a spot that another radio host or podcaster could do with the network. They're going off and doing fine. They're doing their thing. Go support them over at Hockey Talk Radio. Search it on the Google. I sound very old saying the Google. Google Hockey Talk Radio. Find them on Twitter. They're on Facebook as well. Support the people who are doing work over there. Support the creator of doing Hockey Talk Radio. He's a good guy. I felt bad not being able to produce a show with him. But yep, stuff happens. They're going to do well. We're doing great over here at Place to Be Nation. So this week's episode with Brian was intended for the forecheck. We decided not to air it over there. Brought it over here for Place to Be. You know, we're going to air it here, this one. I will say this is before we upgraded the audio intake, just because I was doing it on my old audio system. I would ran on my old show, my old website. Now we have the new audio coming in here with microphones and recording devices. So that's why the last four episodes have been a little better quality than, say, this one. So you might need to turn up your volume a little bit. You know, with Brian, we had trouble recording the first 15 minutes or so. So that's why we jump in here with Tim Tebow talk, because when you're talking about a GP category or subjects, of course you're gonna talk Tim Tebow. Some stuff is outdated as well. Michael Sam is no longer with the Montreal Alouettes. He's also no longer with football. And this is before the backlash of Bruce Jenner transitioning to Caitlyn Jenner really happened. Not really a backlash, but there wasn't as many critics and people coming out with negative pieces and negative hot takes against what happened with her transition. So some of the stuff is outdated there. Other stuff is not. So I hope you do enjoy this week's episode here with Brian. We'll be back next week with, I don't know if we're going back next week. I have a couple of topics I have floating around in my head that I want to talk about. So we'll see who wants to come on the show. So for myself, jump on the phone right here with Brian, a conversation we had recorded actually before game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. So this is back in June. We did all this stuff here. So when you're done with the show, support the show on Twitter. Go support Hockey Talk Radio as well. They're doing a lot of good things, like I said many times already here. And yep, here comes Brian. Gotcha. You know, and actually Tim Tebow gets a chance to always keep on coming back in and making the league. So hopefully, you know, someone goes. I mean, the NFL is full of injuries, so it's very possible that he could make his way back on the roster. But you know, he was a big name, came out of college, got drafted. It helped with the public persona and helped with him getting, you know, built in and a lot of people on him and, you know, knowing about him. But is it going to take a large name to come out saying that, yes, I am a gay athlete, to really shape, you know, turn that public persona around and make it a lot more comfortable? And I'm just throwing a name out there, not, you know, Philadelphia Flyer fans can probably say, oh, he already is. But does it take like a Sidney Crosby type person to say, yes, I am comfortable in my sexual orientation, to really shape that public persona around?
No. And as a media guy, I guess my inclination is that certainly that helps. You know, if you've got a big name, I think what helps more is if you've got four or five guys who all come out, the, you know, in fairly close proximity to each other. You know, time-wise, you know, I think that what you saw in the entertainment industry is that, you know, Ellen DeGeneres comes out, and then Rosie O'Donnell and Neil Patrick Harris and Elton John, and pretty soon you can't keep up with them. And that's the point at which it stops being all that interesting.
Okay.
And I think sports is going to get to that point as well, and every once in a while you're going to get a big name in there, but you know, you're also going to get, you know, plenty of mid-level players who, you know, who do a decent job and who, you know, who do what they're hired to do, and their teams accept them and their cities accept them, and it doesn't become that much of an issue. But I think until we get you know, five or six guys who are able to do that, then, you know, people, like I said, you know, there's that sort of collective shrug, oh, that's interesting, and then you move on.
Right. I think it's good that we have gotten to the collective shrug and moving on from there, you know, rather than, it shouldn't be a big deal when someone comes out and says that, yes, I am, you know, I'm gay. You know, it should be cool, great, you know, can you put 20 goals in and add, you know, 45 assists on top of it? You know, what can you do to help, rather than being like, oh, let's treat you like a circus act. You know, oh, okay, let's do all this stuff. I mean, circus act might be a little harsh, but, you know, let's put you on a cover of Sports Illustrated for doing this and all that. Okay, one last thing here before, you know, we go. Bruce Jenner.
You know, he makes his transition to Caitlyn Jenner. It's been widely praised across, and you know, even my wife last night said she, you know, Caitlyn Jenner looks a lot better than Bruce Jenner ever did, which I'm not surprised. In fact, I saw the thing on, I believe, Twitter or Facebook saying that Caitlyn actually looks the best of all the Jenner Kardashian clan, which also not surprising as well. So with Bruce now officially transitioning to Caitlyn and doing the Vanity Fair cover, you know, is it a little too late, or is it still, he's still that big of an athlete and an icon to, you know, help with other people who may be in high school or maybe in college right now?
No, and I think it's an excellent question, because I think that I think there's a huge shift in what's happening when it comes to issues of orientation and gender identity. And I think that when you look at high schools and colleges, I think what you're going to start to see is that there are plenty of men and women who are identifying themselves early. You know, we've been working with a kid who's 12, 13 years old as a lacrosse player and has already told his parents and his teammates that he's gay. Mm-hmm. Those are the kids. There are a lot of college athletes right now who are out, and those are the ones who are about to enter the pros. They will become players at the high school and the college and the professional level, with everybody already knowing that they are gay or lesbian, or that they identify differently. And so that's, you know, I think that is where we start to see real progress. So, yes, it's fascinating if, you know, a big name comes out, but I don't think that feels like normalization. Mm-hmm. And I think that that acceptance is coming much faster at younger age levels. And, you know, so those high school and college kids are the ones who are really leading the way. You know, the work that we've been doing with Colorado High School Activities Association, there's very, very little pushback. You know, there's still bullying, but it's that kind of third or fourth grade mouthy, you know, don't be such a homo thing, which right. is what we really fight against.
Right.
And it's important, you know, our whole thing is don't use that language, because you know, we want to encourage people to be who they are. These kids are growing up with that attitude, and that's where you're going to see the change over the next, you know, I would say 10 years. You know, somebody like Bruce Jenner transitioning, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, becoming, you know, Caitlyn, and, you know, doing something that's fairly stunning like a Vanity Fair cover, mm-hmm. breaks a tremendous amount of ground. And I think the interesting thing that you're seeing is that there has been next to no negative,
right.
There's been no negative publicity about this. And I think that we are to the point as a society where, and this is absolutely fine with us, with You Can Play, you might not be fully on board with your LGBT neighbors or teammates, but for God's sake, at least have the decency to keep it to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is about manners. This is about common sense. You know, who's going to be a good teammate to help you win? And it matters more what's on your inside and your ability to, you know, contribute to your team and your sport. And I think that, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is one of a number of people who are, you know, really providing some interesting, you know, lessons in being a role model.
And I think the worst thing that we've seen through social media is someone just saying, oh, I'm still going to call him Bruce. And really, right. if you think 5 years ago, that would have just been batted an eye. Whereas now it's, you know, oh, you're still going to call him Bruce? Let's form the angry mob and get that person for, you know, being insensitive.
Right. And, you know, I think that this is what You Can Play does is about language and how language shapes attitudes. And what we're seeing now with LGBT athletes is the same thing that you've gotten to several years ago with racial slurs and racial epithets, where And religious slurs as well.
Right.
You know, there was a time when John Kennedy was almost not going to be elected president because he was Catholic.
Really?
You know, nobody thinks of that now. And so, you know, we've got an African-American president, and things change, but I think people forget that it takes sometimes years and years. But I think what you're seeing with language right now is, look, don't call somebody a fag or a homo.
Right.
This isn't the way, you know, that's not the way we behave. And, you know, what you can play, I think, does is gives people the ability to say, choose another word,
right,
whether that's on your team, whether it's in your locker room, or whether you're, you know, I was at a Broncos game, and, you know, somebody's calling Tom Brady, you know, a gay slur.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you the ability to say, choose another word.
Right.
That's where society's headed right now.
Yeah. You know, say, hey, you have illegitimate children outside of your marriage to Giselle. I think that would be very upsetting.
There are plenty of things you can call somebody besides something that actually is going to, you know, hurt somebody who's in earshot who actually might be gay or lesbian,
right,
or, you know, somebody, something else. So
your UGG boots are made in some sweatshop in Indonesia. I'm sure that might hurt,
yeah,
you know, it might.
Yeah.
your boots don't fit my feet because they make them too sweaty and I can't get them off, you know. That
you
might be
like somebody else's equipment.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, and just like it made me think whenever, you know, I'm 32, going to be 33 in July. When I was, you know, probably my late, you know, 12, 13, 14 years, a group of us would get together, you know, and play not tackle football, but, you know, the game Smear the Queer. And that was in the mid 90s. Nowadays,
right,
you would never hear that. You know, it's really great in how this is transitioning to where it's going to. So, you know, I see in your page, like I said, the partnership with the MLS and the Canadian leagues and also the NHL. You know, has the NBA reached out to you or the NFL or MLB to, you know, jump on board as well?
So we have, whether it's individual teams or athletes, we've been represented by every league in the United States and Canada, whether it is lacrosse or hockey or baseball. You know, you can play when Yunel Escobar had his kind of inexplicable issue with the Eye Black and the Blue Jays. You know, Patrick and you know, a couple of guys went in and did some really good work with the Blue Jays, you know, for their front office staff, their players, and, you know, that spills over into fans. We've got a program with the NFL called High Five, where we take we take NFL players or staff, front office personnel to work with LGBT kids who are in homeless shelters, so they get a chance to be, you know, I'm still surprised, although this is changing, and the number of people that we work with or talk to who say they don't know a gay or lesbian person. And so this gives front office staff and players a chance to interact one-on-one and, you know, let them ask questions of each other. You know, what's it like to be a pro football player, and, you know, what's it like to be an LGBT youth? You know, those sorts of shared experiences and those, you know, I think that's how you sort of knock down the understanding, as opposed to keeping your orientation completely quiet and, you know, not wanting to talk about it. And it's one of the things that we push as well with some of the athletic conferences that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting ready to do some cool stuff at the Blue Sky Conference, I hope. And you know, when you're talking with college athletes, these are your friends. These are your teammates, people that you go to battle with. And there should be nothing that is off the table to discuss. If, you know, if you're a gay athlete, you have the duty to be a model and, you know, answer any question that's out there. Just like you know, you would have anybody else who asked questions.
Right, exactly. Have you guys tried to touch base with the WWE because, you know, Darren Young, an openly gay athlete, superstar, I guess they call him, over in WWE, came out before the summer of 2013, before their SummerSlam event in LA, in one of the prominent tag teams with the Primetime Players, you know, and they, I believe they do a lot of the campaign with No Hate as well.
Yep. So we had, we have worked with them, and, you know, during that whole coming out process. And since then, actually, we have done workshops for front office staff. And it's funny, I think the thing that you find with some of the smaller leagues especially is that these are, a lot of times these are not secrets. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we are working with you know, some of these smaller leagues or with WWE is, how do you talk about this? You know,
right.
I think some of the discomfort is, well, what am I allowed to ask my, you know, my newly out teammate? And, you know, you have to have that discussion if anything's going to move ahead. You know, this past weekend, the U.S. Olympic Committee is hosting their Flame program, which is, they bring together, students of color who are interested in going into sports marketing.
Mm.
And so they've been in Denver and in Colorado Springs this past week. And, you know, their whole thing is you've got a lot of business contacts, but if you don't, you know, if you're not willing to really dig in and listen to what people are saying, you're not going to succeed. And so, you know, having conversations with some of those kids has been really terrific in that, you know, they're very willing to ask, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what am I allowed to say, and, you know, how do I get culturally fluent in talking to, you know, LGBT athletes about their skills or about their lives. You know, it's time for us to all stop whispering about it and just, you know, roll up our sleeves and talk, so...
Or bullet point number one, you are not that attractive, all right? Just because you have a gay teammate does not mean they automatically want to hook up with you.
And, you know, that's one of the things Patrick is much more eloquent about talking about it than I am. But, you know, that is the first thing. You know, what makes you think that you're so hot that I would be attracted to you? The second thing is you're a 250-pound linebacker, and all of a sudden you're afraid of the kid next to you.
Right, exactly.
You know, when 2 days ago you thought you ruled the world.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of kind of irrational stuff that happens, and I think once you start pointing out how irrational it is, you know, people think, all right, maybe I am a dumbass, and I should think about this a little bit differently. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean... It's a progressive movement. As a society, we need to progress as well. I mean, we don't use a printing press anymore to read newspapers. We go online and read about stuff and then throw our own monkey feces at whatever the person wrote and say, no, you're horribly wrong.
Yes.
As a former writer and still part-time writer now, I would always hate whenever someone would just scroll right through the comment section and comment on my headline, and I would just sit there and go, you didn't actually read what I wrote, did you? No. You
right.
just saw
yep.
why X is no good and why Y should be better. So
yeah.
So good.
And you know what? You're never going to, you know, since you've been through that, you know you're never going to change some people's minds or get them to pay attention. But I think that where we have been particularly effective is with people who care about sports, people who care about athletes. You know, Glenn, Patrick, and I started this because we love hockey and we love sports in general. And, you know, I think it hurts athletes. I think it hurts our game, and I think it hurts our teams if we are somehow not able to say, you know, you would be a better player if you weren't keeping secrets, and we're not going to punish you because you are gay or lesbian. How do we help you out? How do we help you be a better player? And, you know, that's something that we've seen across, you know, goes across all sports, whether it's lacrosse or hockey or basketball. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's where I think we should be. And, you know, we don't want anybody, you know, penalized for, you know, for being who they are.
Oh, of course. I'm a wreck when I'm trying to hide a gift for my wife for about 2 days, let alone trying to hide a giant, if I'm a professional athlete looking to play at the highest level among competition and hiding a giant secret like that. So I would love it if someone was just comfortable. I'm sure they would perform a lot better, their team would be a lot better.
It just makes everything easier, and, I think I would like to think that, again, as a society, we're getting beyond the point where there is such stigma attached to it that you think that you can't tell people or that it's worth killing yourself over. That just absolutely breaks any of our hearts when we, see a high school kid who's been bullied or thinks that he or she is not worth having a nice life just because, they're gay or lesbian. I think Patrick and Brendan were a terrific example of, a family where a kid was willing to walk away from hockey, a sport that he loved because he was so afraid of what would happen. Glenn had that experience as a college athlete where he didn't come out until he was already done. And, the problem with that is you spend, I think as a gay person, you spend a lot of time, a lot of your life lying, and then you spend a lot more time apologizing to people that you lied to because you didn't trust them enough. And that really pisses people off, and it should. And, that's a consequence people don't think about that often.
Right. Well, it's hard. I mean, it's very, very hard. And I'm very glad you guys are doing everything what you're doing over at You Can Play, especially with the board of advisory staff, with Buchagross, Patrick's dad, Brian. Next time we have Patrick on, I think I just want to ask 30 minutes of questions worth of what's going on with Brian's hair.
Ask Patrick about his hair, too.
So it runs in the family, then, I'm guessing. So, you can go to youcanplayproject.org. Is there anywhere else if people want to get involved in this can go to?
That's the best place. And, we welcome volunteer support. We are a small nonprofit, so I'd be remiss if we didn't ask for donations. And, if you're not interested in being involved, I think the other thing that we always ask is, if you hear somebody using that slur, correct them. This doesn't get better unless we hold each other accountable. And if you don't know a gay person, or a gay athlete, we're certainly welcome. We're happy to, put people in touch because, again, on a city-by-city, team-by-team basis, until you get to know people and talk about talk about these things, nothing improves. And so that's what we would always ask.
All right, there's this week's episode with Brian Kitts. Go support their movement over at You Can Play. They're doing a lot of great things with helping kids, really. That's the most important ones that they're really touching with. Kids touching. That sounds terrible, but you understand what I'm trying to say here. They're making people feel comfortable with who they really are. High school is tough enough even for someone that's a white straight male from the suburbs, let alone someone that is going through changes, they don't understand what they feel or any of that stuff. So Brian, Patrick Burke, everyone over there at You Can Play, doing great stuff and just making people feel normal. That's what we all try to do in this life that we all live in. So that's all we have for this week's episode of the TJ McAloon Show. I am TJ McAloon. Go support the podcast over at TJ McAloon. Also Place to Be Nation, doing great stuff as always with their SummerSlam just wrapped. So I'm pretty sure Scott and JT and Brian and everyone over there are on the come down of the great show of SummerSlam, NXT, and everything that's going on with them. But for TJ McAloon, that's who I am, we'll talk to you next week, and thanks for listening.